Here I have for you a little lamb. Bad. Not bad. Yeah. Kind of cute and cuddly. You can pet this little lamb if you want. Yeah. There you go. Jerry, you don't pet lambs, do you? Okay. Jerry's a farmer. He doesn't pet lambs. Lambs are kind of interesting because they are cute and cuddly, and they can be led pretty easily. The most significant thing of the lamb as it relates to the Bible is that the lamb was also used as a sin offering within the nation of Israel. Families would offer their lamb, and it usually was a firstborn, and it also was usually without blemish, just no blemish at all, just a perfect animal. Matter of fact, in order to keep the animal perfect, sometimes they would bring it into the house. The unfortunate thing about that is it many times became the family pet. They sacrificed the lamb for a sin offering because of their sin and their disobedience to God. John Drain, in his book Introducing the New Testament, said that they knew that they needed to be put right with God, and so that their lives would be full and free, and they did it through the sacrifice of the lamb. What's interesting about the lamb is that the father of the house, the head of the house, was the one that usually sacrificed for the sins of the father and the sins of the family. You can only imagine if you had a pet in the house that your kids fell in love with, the pain that you would have to go through to sacrifice a little lamb, especially your little lamb and the kids' little lamb. But that was the significance of the sacrifice. The significance of the sacrifice is that the father would take a lamb that was perfect as a sacrifice to God, a lamb whom he grew attached to and that the family grew attached to. And with a stroke of a knife, with a hand on the lamb's head, they would cut the throat of the lamb, drain the blood. And the person who did the sacrifice would fill the life of a lamb slowly dissipate. You see, the sacrifice was felt by the individual. It wasn't a simple sacrifice where they went out and they bought a lamb. It wasn't a simple sacrifice of just paying money. It was a substitutionary sacrifice. So what happened physically, outwardly with the lamb, with that animal, was also happening spiritually and inwardly with the individual that sacrifice and that lamb. Can you imagine that, thinking that your sins had to be atoned for a creature that was innocent and that was beautiful, that was tame, that was trusting, and that was loving? That was a process. Four things took place with the animal sacrifice. Number one, the sinner was reminded of the consequences of their sin. They had sinned and some payment had to be made for it. And that payment was made through an innocent lamb. And that even though the lamb was made as a sacrifice, the sinner, the individual knew it was because of him. He should have suffered. He should have suffered the consequences of being slain. Then the blood, which represented the sinner's life, was taken to the altar by the high priest. And this was an act of atonement. So it was an act of taking the blood of the lamb, taking it into the temple as an atonement for the sin to God. And that's what united man with God. So not only was their sin taken care of, the sinner was reunited with God. The payment was made. Unfortunately, the payment was only temporary. It had to be paid over and over again. At least annually, a sin offering had to be made. And then the animal was laid on the altar in the temple as a sign that the forgiven individual was offering the whole body to God. So not only was a lamb slain, it was put on the altar. The whole animal carcass was put on the altar, and it was burnt there on the altar. And then finally, some of the meat that was left over was eaten, and they had a meal indicating that the forgiven sinner had not only been reconciled to God, but they had also been reconciled to one another. And so they shared the meat. Isn't that interesting? They shared the meat of the lamb in fellowship. So not only were they reconciled to God, they were also reconciled to the people of God. Pretty interesting, isn't it? Thank goodness we don't have a sacrificial system anymore. And thank goodness that after the death of Jesus, that all these temple sacrifices ended. Aren't you happy? Yeah, aren't you happy? I'd hate to be sacrificing my cat or dog, something I love because of my sin. Now, the book of Hebrews details the fact that Jesus' death on the cross was a fulfillment of the whole sacrificial system of Judaism. That after Christ died on the cross, there were no more sacrifices, and there were no more sacrifices necessary. Unfortunately, mankind doesn't understand this. Mankind has tried his best to have a right relationship with God through various ways. Through money, through work, and through promises, or just going to church. Thinking that would be the sacrifice that would be made. You know, we attempt to offer sacrifices of our own, on our own terms, don't we? We do something wrong, what do? We try to offer sacrifices on our own. Give more money to church. You know, reach out to other people, not understanding that all of our attempts go for naught because we cannot circumvent, go around, or neglect that our salvation and our reconciliation with God came only from the finished work of Christ on the cross. We can't do this. We can't work for our salvation. We try so much to think of ways how we can reconcile with God instead of the easiest way, and the way that was made for us, and that's to accept Him and accept the blood of Jesus Christ. So how important is the sacrifice of the cross? How important is it? Very important. And it is imperative that one of the things we really need to discuss is how Christ was the fulfillment of the initial sin offering of the sacrificial lamb. So in that endeavor, today's sermon covers the sacrifice of Christ and is called the sacrificial lamb of God, or we can't do this. So let's go to our scripture. Our scripture verse today will come from Genesis chapter 22. We're going to read verses 1 through 14. Genesis 22, 1 through 14. In a Pew Bible, it's on page 14 and 15. So you can grab your Pew Bibles if you don't have a Bible. So grab your Pew Bibles and on page 14 and 15, we will read chapter Genesis 22, verses 1 through 14. But before we do this, why don't you tell somebody next to you that I'm so excited to study God's Word. I'm so excited to study God's Word. Why don't we do this? I like that. Okay. Let's read. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. And when he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham took up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father? Yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and wood are here, Isaac said, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in this quietness of this sanctuary, we come to you wanting to learn more about you and wanting to know more about your son that you sent to die for us. Lord, help us to understand these scriptures as well as other scriptures that we'll be reviewing today. Help us more than anything to understand the sacrificial lamb that you sent for us, something that you wouldn't even allow Abraham to do. That you sent your only son to die for us. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask that your anointed spirit fall heavy on all of us, that as we study your word, we will learn more about you and your love for us and how you fulfilled everything through your son, especially this Easter month in which we celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Dear Lord, I ask that you use me as your humble servant to present your word in a concise and precise way so that when we leave here today, we have a better understanding of the Lamb that was sent for us to take away the sins of the world. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. How many people love the story of Abraham and Isaac? Some of you do. As a father, I hate it. As a father, I don't ever want to be tested like that. Many people can't understand. I had a good friend saying, you know, I just can't understand God asking Abraham to do this. Why would Abraham even take Isaac up to that hill? And we read in Scripture that Isaac just didn't take his son up to be sacrificed. His son went willingly and even carried the wood. That's interesting. But Abraham was a man of faith, and he knew God's promises. He also knew that God had promised him a son, which he gave to him. This was his only son. And that someday many generations would come from that son. So he had faith that that would happen. But to me, it's a tough story. How many of you men who have sons would sacrifice your son, even for God? Not too many hands are up there. Not too many hands are up there. But you know, this was a foreshadowing of what God was going to do for us. A foreshadowing is a kind of. A foreshadowing in the Old Testament is something that looks close to something that's going to happen in the future. And this was a kind of a foreshadowing of God sending His Son, His only Son, for us. And why would it also be a foreshadowing? It would be a foreshadowing to understand the magnitude of the pain and the sacrifice that a man would have to go through to give up his one and only son. Abraham prayed for the son, and they had it late in life. I think Sarah was in her 90s when they had Abraham. Can you imagine that, praying all those years for a son and finally having that son, which was a true miracle? And having that pain of taking that son to a mountain, to the top of a mountain, to sacrifice. I think God wanted to show us that there's pain in that. He wanted us to feel that pain, just like the pain for a father of a family to slay a lamb. Why is that significant? What's significant about it is that God gave His only son. And never required any man to give their son to reconcile the world to them. That's a big deal. Do you understand that? What a big deal that is? That's a big deal. And there are so many references about this Lamb of God. Especially the references of this Lamb of God that's coming. And so what I'd like to do today is review not only the Christ and fulfillment of the Lamb of God, but also what led up to this. What do we see in the Bible about that? Well, number one, the Lamb of God just didn't appear. The Lamb of God was prophesied. Isaiah 53:7 said, "He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearer, so silent, so he did not open his mouth." So who do you think Isaiah was talking about? He was talking about Christ. Absolutely. Isaiah was talking about the Messiah. The Messiah as a suffering servant. All of Israel expect the Messiah to come up with a white horse and destroy the Romans and replace the temple and save all the people. They had no idea that the Messiah was to come and to take our transgressions and to take our sins. You see in Isaiah a coming servant who will be oppressed and afflicted, yet as quiet as a lamb. Who will be led to the slaughter in silence with accusations and beatings. Sounds pretty familiar, doesn't it? This Lamb of God was predicted. Just think about this. This Lamb of God was predicted 700 years before the actual event. 700 years. And Isaiah goes on to say that the Lamb will justify the many. This Lamb will bear their iniquities. He poured out Himself in death. Remember I talked about the sacrifice and pouring the blood before the altar for reconciliation. He poured out Himself in death. He bore the sins of many, and He interceded for the transgressors. That's right from Scripture. And there's no question that someday this lamb or servant will be sent to us as a sacrifice for our sins. There's no question that that's what these verses were saying in Isaiah 53. Number two, the lamb was announced. The Lamb was absolutely announced. Interestingly enough, John the Baptist not only recognized Jesus, but when he saw Jesus, he announced to the world to look. Matter of fact, to look twice and told all to recognize the Lamb of God. To recognize the Lamb of God. Listen to what he says, and he says this twice. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God, who does what? Takes away the sin of the world." The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." Isn't Scripture great? It just all makes sense. So even John the Baptist, who some believe was prophesied Elijah that was going to come back and announce the Messiah, which he did. I can just see John the Baptist. You know, everyone's following John the Baptist, And he said, no, I baptize the one that's the Messiah. And then Jesus appears. He said, look means behold, see, that's the one, that's the Lamb. People that knew the Old Testament knew that was the sin offering. They knew that was the Lamb that was provided for with Abraham. They knew that. I loved it. Not only did he say it once, but the next day he sees Jesus again and he says to two of his disciples, that is the Lamb. That's the Lamb of God. Isn't that interesting? And then those two disciples went with the Lamb of God. Went with the Lamb of God. And there's no question in my mind that this Jesus was formally announced by John the Baptist, as was foretold in the Old Testament. That the Elijah would be one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And he was preparing the way, baptizing Jesus, and then later saying, that is the Lamb of God. You don't worship me. That is the Messiah. Number three, we know the Lamb was provided. We know that in the upper room, Jesus met for the Last Supper with his disciples. And at this last meal, he symbolically explained his impending sacrifice for us. Listen to what Luke 22 says. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And after taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. And he took bread, gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. That's significant. Poured out for you. What did I tell you about the lamb's blood? Where the lamb's blood was taken? The lamb's blood was taken and poured out in the temple to atone for the individual's sin. What do you think Jesus was saying? This is my body. I'm going to be sacrificed. And this is symbolically my blood, which will be poured out for you to give you right standing with God. Isn't that awesome? It's all here. It's all here. And then they had fellowship and communion with their friends. And they took the bread. He took the bread. He gave thanks. And he gave it to them saying, this is my body given for you. And then likewise, he took the cup and said, this is the cup of the new covenant. The new covenant, meaning we won't have a sacrificial system anymore. You don't have to take a sheep anymore for a sin offering or a goat or a bull for any type of burnt offering or Thanksgiving offering. It's all been done. My new covenant is this. I've died for your sins. I am available. I made a way for you. I reconciled you to God. And no longer do you have to worry about atoning for your sin. The doors are open. The veil is ripped. We have total access to God through the blood of Christ. Through the blood of Christ. And there is no question in my mind that Jesus had proclaimed himself to be the sacrificial lamb as he gave out the elements. And that he knew, like the sin offering, that he would be killed and his blood would be poured out before the world to atone for our sins. Pretty good stuff. Pretty good stuff. Number four, we see where the lamb sacrifice was completed. Let's go to 1 Peter and then we'll do John 19. So 1 Peter 1:18 through 20 says, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before what? The creation of the world, but was revealed in the last time for your sake. And John 19:30 is my favorite, because when he had received the drink, this is when Jesus was on the cross, when he had received the drink, which was the vinegar that he was thirsty, when he had received the drink, as he was bleeding, his arms nailed to that cross, as he received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. What was finished? The sacrifice was finished. His whole purpose was finished. The shedding of his blood was finished. Reconciliation between us and God, something we don't deserve, was finished. And Peter reminds us that it wasn't with perishable things like silver or gold that redeemed us. What's that tell us? Can we buy our salvation with silver and gold? No. But the precious blood of Christ, the unblemished lamb. What did I tell you about the sin offering? What did the lamb have to be? Unblemished. How perfect was Jesus when he went to the cross? A man who knew no sin became sin for us and died on that cross. And there's no question to me as to the sacrificial lamb of God that was provided to us for our salvation and our freedom from sin. To live a full and free life. Remember when I talked about the sin offering? They made the sin offering to make a full to have a full and free life with sin behind us, with forgiveness in front of us. How full and free do you feel to know that your sins are forgiven? How full and free does that make you feel? Hallelujah. Amen. We saw a foreshadowing of the sacrifice through the sacrifice of Abraham in Genesis. We saw the prophecy of Christ coming in Isaiah and some of the other Old Testament prophets. We saw him announced by John the Baptist, who at that time was a popular prophet. Many thought he was Elijah. We saw him walk this earth as depicted in the Gospels. And we read that he gave himself as a living sacrifice to us and finished the work of salvation on that cross. This is no coincidence. It's no coincidence because this scripture tells us he was chosen before the creation of the world. Number five, and the great news is the Lamb is waiting. And where is the Lamb now? He now sits on the right-hand side of God, where every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And Revelation 7, 8 through 10 tells us this. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the... They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the..." Amen. And salvation does belong to our God who provided the Lamb, his Son, his only Son. He didn't even allow Abraham to sacrifice his only Son because it was a promise to the world that God will provide. You see, we can't do this salvation stuff on our own. We can't atone for our sins or be sacrificed. I've tried that. I've beat myself up. It never did anything. But God provided to us the perfect, unblemished sacrifice to die for us once and for all. Once and for all. And it is finished. It is totally finished. The sacrifice is made. The blood is shed. It's poured out. Our lives are open to have a relationship with this Lamb of God. Let's go to this cartoon. Okay, it said no more sacrifices. We switched to the New Testament at midnight last night. And we can say amen to that. Amen to that. Because Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, was given to us. He was given from His Father. And it's because of His violent, physical, exposed, and outward death we should feel and understand inwardly and spiritually what the Lamb has done for us. As much as the Father said as He killed the Lamb, this Lamb doesn't deserve it. I do. This Lamb should never die. This Lamb is innocent. Should have never died. And that's what we identify with Christ on the cross. He should have never died. He was innocent. He was perfect. Why would He shed His blood for me? I deserve that. I should have gone to the cross. We're also reminded of that the blood representing our lives given to God was taken to the altar. It was poured out. That blood, as it was poured out, was taken to the altar and pleased God and reconciled us to God. Sin was gone away. There was no longer that sin barrier between us and God because Jesus had opened the way for us to have a relationship with Him. And sin was taken care of, and we are united in fellowship with God, and Christ sacrificed for all of us. Isn't that something? Now, let me ask you this. Will communion mean something different to you now? Because what did I say? After the Lamb was put on the altar and burned, it was given out to eat the meat, and so they had festivals. And it was a celebration of reconciliation with God and reconciliation with what? One another. That's why you gotta love the gospel, how everything fits together. Because what does the scripture talks about us having communion? What happens if we have an ought with a brother? Does anybody know? We're not to have communion. So now as we have communion and we identify with the blood, and we identify with the bread, not only do we have fellowship with God, we also have fellowship with one another. Fellowship with one another. There's nothing missing. All four points of the sin offering was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, man hasn't changed much over the centuries. We still find a need to be put right with God, don't we? We all find a need. I want to be right with God. How many times have you heard that? Matter of fact, some people say, I'm not even going to come to church unless I'm right with God. But we have this need to be put right with God for our lives to be full and free. And the trouble is that few know that the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, shed His blood for us. And has already made us right. That is, if we're ready to fully accept Him as our Lord and Savior over ourselves and over our lives. We can't do this on our own. Because it's only by God's grace that we were saved through faith and not through our works. So that we will never, ever so that we would never, ever boast. There's nothing to boast about. Sacrifice of Christ is something to identify with. To have our hearts broken about. And be able to receive it joyfully. As we are reunited with our Almighty God. Who provided for us in the Lamb of Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to You and we just praise Your name and this Easter, Lord, as we walk through the Easter season, I just pray, Lord, that we keep staring at the cross, understanding that as we were yet sinners and in our sin, you still went to the cross for us. You didn't go to the cross because we first loved you, but that you loved us. That you poured out your blood for us so that we can have a full and free life with you. Help us, Lord, to accept that full and free life. Help us, Lord, to understand that it's not only now, it is for an eternity that you have forgiven our sins on that cross. It is finished. It is complete. There's no more to say except to accept you as our Lord and Savior. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask this question of anybody here that has never accepted Christ. Maybe today's the day. Maybe now you have a better understanding of the full-blown sacrifice that was made for us. How Old Testament told about it, and how New Testament walked you through it, and how our future will be with the Lamb of God. Salvation, accepting Jesus as your personal Savior, seems simple, but the walk is so exciting. It will take you so many ways and so many good things that are waiting for a full and free life. So if there's anybody here that hasn't accepted Christ, maybe today's the day. Maybe today's the day you say this prayer. Dear Jesus, I repent of my sins. It hurts me that you went to the cross for them. It hurts me that you were an innocent lamb, that you did it just for me. It hurts me the pain of God the Father sending you, his only son, to die for us. And then you run to him and you say to God, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I want to follow you. I want something different. So if you've asked God Jesus into your life today, I'd like to know. And again, it's no more than that heartfelt saying that I repent of my sins and then a change of life to make him your Lord and Savior. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask whether there's anybody here that has accepted Christ for the first time, because I want to pray for you. And if you have, I ask you to put your hand up and right back down. Put your hand up. Right back down. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you so much. I thank you, Lord, that for the death and shed blood on the cross, so that I can be free of my sins and I can walk with you each and every day. So, Lord, as a congregation, help us to know this story, to tell this story to everybody this Easter season, to know how important the blood of the Lamb is to us as Christians. So we lift these prayers up to you, Lord, and we love you so much. And we pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, and definitely all God's people said,